is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey Hoopheads, this February our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball are offering $1,250 off the Dr. Dish Rebel Plus. You can also subscribe to their 30-day free daily motivational email series for coaches. Check out their new goal setting feature at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT Plus models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Scott Nagy, head men's basketball coach at Wright State University, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its play bank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel tonight. And we are jumping on to talk a little trade deadline and some of the things that have gone down in the league that have sort of shifted at least some of the landscape since we last talked. I know we had spoke a little bit about the Kyrie Irving trade, although we hadn't seen Kyrie and Luka play together yet. But we're going to kind of go through the trades trade by trade. Yeah. Not in the win-loss column. Not in the win-loss column, let's put it that way. Offensively, they look pretty good together, but I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know what the viability of that whole thing is.
Yeah. Well, Mike, before we do trade deadline talk and discuss things, I do have my win shares for this week. And
I'm curious to see who it is.
Well, I went with a team that the Cavs did not play because we've already done all the ones they'd played recently. I went with the Oklahoma City Thunder, formerly the Seattle Supersonics. So this does include Seattle Supersonics on it, Mike. So okay. I'm gonna make you pull those names out of the hat. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So Durant.
2.
Westbrook.
3.
All right, now we're going back to Seattle. So the question is, Seattle won the title in 79. And I got to think about who was there in Seattle for a long enough time. Gus Williams?
He's 9.
9. Man, Jack Sikma?
4. He's the name, Mike, that I didn't know if you would get because that's...
Sikma. Sikma with the blonde fro and the Prince Valiant haircut.
That's the guy. I never heard that guy before I wrote his name down.
You got to look him up, and he's got a very distinctive shot.
I saw his picture from behind his head.
And Jack Sikma, you could probably look at a lot of different pictures of him. He had a lot of different looks in his career. He seriously had the...
You see the Dennis blonde... Rodman before the Dennis Rodman?
No. He just had like the... He had the Pete Rose, like bowl cut. He had the blonde permanent.
Oh, yeah?
So, like, the fro. He had a whole lot of things going on. So, Jack Sikma. All right. So, let me think. So, I'm missing number 1. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Gary Payton.
Number 1.
Sean Kemp.
Number 5. He'd be number 1 if we were talking about his number of kids.
Got it all. So, Man, it's the best I've done on any team.
Yeah,
got them all. All right, everybody.
Do you want to take any?
I didn't guess anybody who wasn't on the list.
Yeah, you want to take a stab at any of the other ones?
Sure. Tom Chambers.
There you go. You got someone that wasn't on the list.
Tom Chambers is not on the list.
Nope.
Dale Ellis.
He's 12.
Detlef Schrempf?
He's 8.
The one
I was really surprised with.
Dennis Johnson?
Nope.
No?
Does the name Rashard Lewis ring a bell as Seattle Supersonics?
He started in Seattle before he went to Orlando.
He's number 7.
But I wouldn't think he would have been there.
He's number
long
7.
Enough, I guess.
He's number
okay.
7.
All right.
Number 6 was Fred Brown.
Downtown Freddie Brown. That would have been my next guess.
Okay.
I didn't know if Freddie was there long enough.
Nate McMillan, number 10.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
And recent free agent after getting traded is number 11, Serge Ibaka.
Well, I guess he won a lot during that time when he was there with those guys, so it makes sense, I guess, to some degree.
Yeah.
All right.
So there you go.
All right. Well, I did pretty well. That's it.
Mike, I'm pretty impressed.
Hey, thanks. I didn't do too bad on that one.
All right. So we're going to kind of go through this trade by trade, and if we don't think that it's a trade that we really need to talk about, we're not going to talk about it. Mike, does that sound good?
Yeah, we're going to start with Durant and then kind of go from there. Or
well, I had the February 7th trade.
Let's start with Durant and then go from there, because I think
Kessler Edwards trade doesn't mean anything to you.
No.
How about the Lakers trades?
Yeah, we could talk about that, but I think we got to talk. I think you got to talk Durant off the top.
I was just going to go in order timeline wise.
No,
I was trying to go.
We got to go. You got to go big, and then we can go timeline. I think we can go timeline after we go Durant. But
okay.
You got to talk Durant first.
Okay, Durant. There was the rumors that were here that were rumbling after Irving got traded, and I will say, like, I feel like he did went about it in the right way. Like, he wasn't like public. It wasn't like a whole public showboat situation. But he as soon as the Irving trade happened, he must have gone to the brass and said, I want to trade. And then it sounded like there were a few teams that were in the mix, but obviously Suns new owner literally approved 36 hours or 48 hours before the trade happens. Matt Ishbia.
Good timing.
Petty Dan Gilbert was the only one who abstained from the trade. Approval.
Dan's a grudge holder. I got the feeling Dan's a grudge holder. What do you think?
Yeah, even in his current, health decline, he's a grudge holder.
Yep.
So the Suns got Durant and TJ Warren. The Nets got Bridges, Cameron Johnson, Jay Crowder. All right, Mike, I have my first winner of the trade deadline. It's not who you think it is. It's Joe Harris, because he's almost rid of the whole circus.
Yeah, I think the circus definitely
he
was
saw
in town.
Simmons, so.
Well, Simmons, we can talk about that in a second.
Yeah, but I will say this, though. I know Durant is his own eccentric. He wasn't the main problem here. I want to be clear. I genuinely believe that Durant was not the main problem. Like, the main – all the Irving wackiness probably – ruin Durant even more. I don't know, but still, it's a good move for. I mean, crap. The Nets got a ton. They got 4 first round picks and a 2020 pick swap. 2029 first round pick. There's no way Durant's still a Sun then. This is Suns. Like, they better win the championship this year. Honestly, like, right? They better win it. This is
called, it's a win now. It's a win now.
So it's a win now move. The Nets are still going to be serviceable. They're still going to be in the playoffs probably with the roster, right? I mean, in the East, are they better than 7 through 12? I think they are. I think they might lock into 6, but I still think they're better than the other teams. I mean, Bridges is a great player. Cameron Johnson was playing really, really well before he got traded. I know Jay Crowder ended up, he's now in Milwaukee after getting released, right, Mike? Is that accurate? That's accurate, yeah.
Well, they traded for him. They didn't release him.
Yeah, okay, they traded
I think they traded 5 second-round picks for Crowder.
Which, man, Jay Crowder, congrats. You haven't played since May of 2022, and you got five second-round picks, which I know they're second-round picks, but anyways, listen, it makes the Suns immediately a title contender, provided everyone's healthy, and the Nets in the long run have a nice little war chest of picks, and they still have a serviceable team. I mean, they're still a team that, I mean, between Dinwiddie, Bridges, Cameron Johnson, I mean, they're a top six team in the East, I think.
I think based on where they are right now in the standings, I think I would agree with you. They're probably staying in the top six. I think they're, if you look at where they sit now, you compare them where they are 33-24 right now, and they are 4.5 games ahead of Atlanta, who is sitting in the eighth spot right now. So it seems pretty unlikely that they would slip below eight. I mean, they'd have to completely fall apart. It doesn't feel like they're going to completely fall apart. I think if you're Brooklyn, what you have to look at is you were under duress to make that trade. And I think when you look at what they got, and you talked about it a second ago, that the odds of Durant being on the team when some of those picks convey is pretty slim. However, it's also could be a whole new iteration of the team. It's just like any team that gets the Cavs first round picks are like, well, by 2023, LeBron won't be on the team anymore. Well, guess what? You have a whole new iteration of the Cleveland Cavaliers. By the time 2029 rolls around, you could have a whole new iteration of the Phoenix Suns. So yeah, you're pushing those picks out, and yeah, the guys that are part of this core may not be there anymore, but somebody's going to be there playing basketball. Let's put it that way. So you're taking a chance on both sides of it. If you're Brooklyn, you're taking a chance that Phoenix, it's not going to work out and they're going to be bottomed out in the later years of the time that you have their draft. And conversely, if you're Phoenix, you're betting on what you're going to be able to do in the immediate future with the guys that you have plus Durant. And then you're going to go through a team building process, and hopefully at the end of when you're still owing picks to Brooklyn, that you're going to be able to build a new team so that you're not giving up potential first five draft picks at that point. So I think from Brooklyn's standpoint, I think they did pretty well to get what they got out of it. You got two players who are quality role players, and I'd say Mikal Bridges is potentially maybe a little bit more than a role player. I still think that on a really good team, maybe he's your third best guy. Maybe. I don't know if he's better than that, but he's certainly a guy that any team in the league would want. And Cam Johnson, obviously, very good shooter. And then you talk about all the draft equity. I think Brooklyn did well to get all that out of it. Then you look at it from the Suns' perspective, and it's easy to look at it in one way and say, man, you add Durant to what they already have, and you've heard a lot of people say that they're title favorites now, or at least favorites in the West. And I think on one hand, that's true, like you mentioned, if they're healthy. But Chris Paul hasn't been healthy in the playoffs for five seasons now. So do you think that he's going to be healthy in the playoffs this year? Because I don't.
I'm not holding my breath.
So you're looking at, you got to depend on Chris Paul staying healthy. Good luck with that. Durant is currently out with the MCL sprain. That's the third time he's had that same injury. Plus, he has the history of the Achilles tear. Plus, he's 34 years old. So who knows? Booker has been, I would say, relatively injury prone in his career. And he's already been out for significant chunks of the season this year. DeAndre Ayton, I'm not sure what his status is with Monty Williams and the rest of the Phoenix organization. Doesn't feel like that's a real match made in heaven. And if you're DeAndre Ayton, you're currently the third guy in the pecking order in terms of scoring, I guess, if Chris Paul is distributing the ball, and probably fourth when you include Paul as a potential scorer or a guy where he ranks in the hierarchy. And it doesn't seem like DeAndre Ayton is extremely happy to be in Phoenix. So I think that a lot has to go right for Phoenix to get to where they want to go and to get to where a lot of people think they're going to be able to get to. Health obviously is important for every team, so that is what it is. But I think there's no way that if Chris Paul is out with an injury in the playoffs or Durant gets hurt again, that Phoenix can say, oh, we didn't see that coming, because these guys have been injury prone and they're old. And so you got to look at it and say, we're rolling the dice. And yet at the same time, I think there's no way if you're Phoenix that when this offer is put on the table, there's no way that you can't do it, because to me, this team had no chance whatsoever to rebound from what happened to them last year against Dallas in game 7, where they just completely collapsed. And then you had the whole Ayton doesn't talk to Monty Williams over the summer. And it just felt like this team had run its course. And so you could, I guess, talk yourself into running that back and going into the playoffs and saying, hey, we got a pretty good chance because the West is wide open and there's no dominant team. And I think lots of people, even though Denver's been the best team in the West all season, I think there's a lot of people that still think that Denver's vulnerable. So if you're Phoenix, you have to do it. But I'm not sure it makes them the overwhelming favorite just because of all those things that I just talked about.
Yeah, I mean, I know you're saying is there's lots of things that have to go their way, but they're the paper champions, right? Paper champions if everyone's healthy. Agree?
Like, if everyone's healthy, those four guys are as good as anybody's four guys in the league. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But at the same time, you could say what you want about Durant, and yeah, a lot of the problems in Brooklyn weren't necessarily his fault, but we've said it before, when he went to Brooklyn, he's kind of a weird dude, and you got to figure out how to make that work, and you don't really know what makes him tick and why. And then Chris Paul is notoriously a great leader, but not necessarily an easy guy to play with when you think about the Lob City Clippers and the fact that he sounded like Blake and DeAndre Jordan at the end of that run were kind of sick of Chris Paul chirping in their ear. I'm not sure Ayton is the biggest Chris Paul fan, and obviously he's not a fan of his coaching staff, so you got that to navigate. Clearly, I think if Ayton would have had his way last summer, he probably would have left, and you know, he signed the offer sheet to go to, was it Indiana or Detroit now? I can't even remember. I think it was Indiana, right? I believe it was Indiana that signed him to an offer sheet. So Ayton clearly wouldn't have minded going out the door. And now you're going to put all that back together and try to figure it out. And then, I mean, I guess their bench is functional, but I don't know. You have to get Durant. I mean, it's a no-brainer that you do the trade, but I'm not so sure that there's a lot that has to go right in my mind in order for this team to get to where they want to go.
Well, they beat the Kings tonight, Mike, without Durant.
Yep. Well, look, I don't know. We could talk Sacramento. They're third in the West. And is any team in the West in the top 10 afraid of playing Sacramento?
Let me give you a little hint. Hell no.
No, nobody's afraid of playing Sacramento as the third seed.
Their Sacramento is us for last year, Mike.
Yeah, and Sacramento's good. Look, I mean, they're... You got Sabonis, you got De'Aaron Fox. Like, those are two legitimately good players that, look, they can win games, but nobody's going to be afraid of the Sacramento Kings. And so I think that speaks to what Dallas did with Kyrie, what Phoenix did with Durant, that teams see that there's an opening. It's not the way it's been for the last 6, 7, 8 years where Golden State was like this overwhelming favorite, like, oh, nobody can beat Golden State. And I don't know about you, but this is completely off the side, but are we about done with Golden State as a legitimate title contender? Even if they're all healthy, can we kind of put that to bed? Do you believe that in any way, shape, or form? I hear so many people, podcasts, people writing, still talking about, well, Golden State's the favorite. I mean, at some point, it's the old Bill Parcells thing, right? You are what your record says you are at a certain point. And we could talk about it. I know Steph's out right now, and clearly – they're better with him, but
I mean,
it just feels like this team just has never, they just have never put it together. I'm not buying Golden State at this point in the season as a legitimate title. As we're saying this,
they're three games out of third place. I mean, I know the West is the West. Listen, Mike.
Are you buying them as a championship team?
Here's what I'm going to say, Mike.
Okay.
If I say yes, and I'm wrong, I won't have egg on my face. But if I say no, and then those idiots decide to play good basketball, and they make it to the finals, or they make it to the Western Conference Finals.
I'm saying no.
Well.
I'm saying no.
I'm going to let you have that egg on your face.
At some point, you are what you are, man. Come on. They're like 500 with 20 games to go in the season.
Yeah?
You're telling me they're going to win a championship?
They could be the number three seed by the end of the.
There's no way.
They could be the number three seed by the time
Listen, Mike, I would love
to go back to the podcast last year when you said there were no way they were winning the championship. I mean, we could do that. You and I both saying it.
Yeah, there's no way they're winning it this year. I'll say it again.
I'm not saying it, Mike. I'm not tempting the fates.
That's fine. They're not winning it.
Okay.
They're not winning it.
All right. Are we done talking Kevin Durant? Can we move on to the next set of trades? Can we do that? Do you have anything else you want to say about
just
Phoenix?
One more thing on Brooklyn side of it. Ben Simmons. What a disaster that is.
Did you see the clip circulating today on Twitter about what happened to this Ben Simmons? And he was like attacking and like spin attacking. And like this is when he was in Philly. Like all these great plays, open floor plays. What happened to this? And then someone said, well, he's back. And they played the clip of him in the first game back without Kevin Durant or Kyrie jacking up a three from court, like just past half court. Like it was like the last few seconds and he airballed it.
Nice.
That's good. That's good.
It's sad what's happened to Ben Simmons. I know you and I talked about it.
I'm just so glad that I've finally been vindicated, Mike.
You've been vindicated in that respect without question. But it is sad. And I think that whatever you want to call it, whether it's the yips, whether it's a mental block, whatever it is, I told you this summer that that is something that does not just miraculously go away. And people acted like, oh, he's just going to come back and
it's going to be scary.
Yeah, everything's going to be normal. Like he's just going to come back and, you know, he just has to get his back right and he's going to be fine. And I tried to tell everybody that trying to come back from that and figuring that out and getting over that fear of going to the free throw line and not having to pull up and not having to, and already you got the fact that he doesn't shoot from the outside. So when he doesn't drive to the basket because he's afraid to get fouled and the guy won't take a shot from outside of 8 feet, it's not a really good combination. Yeah. I feel terrible for the guy. And Brooklyn, you're looking at it going, we traded James Harden. Now, again, they got paid into a corner and Harden had quit on the team and whatever.
He was wearing a fat suit.
Yeah, so it is what it is, and I understand it. But, man, you got 2 years left of a max contract after this season with Ben Simmons, and there's no way to get out of that contract unless you're going to attach probably multiple first-round picks. Can you imagine, like, you're trying to get rid of Simmons, and not only does he have no value, but he has negative value where you have to attach stuff to get off of his contract. I just don't see any team that would even bother taking a chance on him. And yet, my other guy that had the yips in Philly.
Markelle Fultz looked – oh, did you see the dunk tonight?
I didn't see his dunk tonight, but he's been playing. He's been playing really well. The Magic, I think they talked about it on the Low Post today that the Magic is 17-14 over their last whatever that is 31 games, and they got the makings of a nice team. Fultz is a real player. Now he's never going to be what people thought he was coming out in terms of being the number one pick, but the fact that this guy has resurrected his career and that he actually is a really good free throw shooter now, and although his jump shot is still slow and it's kind of mechanical, he can make shots now. And I give him all the credit in the world because that is not an easy thing to do, as we're seeing with Ben Simmons. So hopefully, at some point, it takes a lot of intestinal fortitude. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of trying to figure things out in your own mind. I hope Simmons can get there, but man, what an albatross contract that is for Brooklyn right now. It's crazy how bad that contract is.
Yep, it's not good. It's not good. All right. Let's talk really briefly about the other New York team. The Knicks got Josh Hart for Cam Reddish, Ryan, some other guy, some and Zvi, and a 2023 lottery protected first round pick. This helps the Knicks, right? A little bit?
Yeah, Josh Hart's a good player. He wasn't, for whatever reason, he wasn't shooting very many threes, although I think he made maybe four in his first game with the Knicks. So he's a good player, good defender, a guy that Tibbs is probably going to like and continue to play more. He makes the Knicks better. How good are the Knicks? I don't know. I guess it depends on what you think of Julius Randle, which he's fine, but I don't know. As your best player, I'm not sure how high your ceiling is. The Knicks are fine. I mean, Josh Hart adds to what they do,
yeah.
But I think their ceiling is capped out. The biggest problem with the Knicks is RJ Barrett. In terms of, not that RJ Barrett's a bad player, but the third overall pick in a draft where Zion, although he continues to be injured and re-aggravated his hamstring, and who knows when he's going to be back.
Mike.
He's getting to 250, but is he going to be back this season? Who knows? But Ja goes number two.
I think there's a good likelihood that you're going to play in the NBA this season too, Mike.
Maybe.
Are you looking for an agent overseas, Mike?
That's it. Yeah, maybe I should start doing that. The Grizzlies get Ja at number two, and then the Knicks get stuck with RJ Barrett at number three. And RJ Barrett is not a bad player, but for a guy who's a number three pick in the draft, he hasn't been what the Knicks need / want him to be. And so that's why you're kind of stuck and mired in mediocrity right now if you're the New York Knicks. Josh Hart's a good pickup. Giving up the first-round pick to Portland, fine. But it makes the Knicks slightly better, but it doesn't make them better than any of the five teams. Maybe now they're better than Brooklyn, but they also have – they're two games behind Brooklyn right now in the standings. I don't know. The Knicks could get up into the sixth seed, and Brooklyn could fall into the play-in. I could see that happening depending on how things go. But they're not getting any higher than – they're not getting any higher than six.
Yeah, for sure. Listen. How much are the Knicks kicking themselves? I mean, just looking at that draft, how much better would they be with Darius Garland as opposed to RJ Barrett, Mike? I mean, I know that they have Brunson now, but they wouldn't have had to go out and get Brunson, right?
Right. Then you could have done something else. Then hey, they could have traded for Donovan Mitchell. They could have the Cavs backcourt. So,
yeah, man. Oh, poor New York Knicks. Oh well. All right. The other side, the other coast. Let's do it, Mike. The Lakers. Right. The Lakers.
Can I just laugh at the Lakers? What a joke that franchise is right now.
The Lakers got D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley, Jared Vanderbilt. The Timberwolves got Conley, Nikhil Alexander Walker, and 3 second round picks. Utah Jazz got Russell Westbrook, Damian Jones, Juan Toscano-Anderson. Now, has Westbrook been officially bought out of his contract yet or not?
No, not to my knowledge.
I don't think he has. So, and then the Lakers did make another trade, and then we can just talk about them. They traded Thomas Bryant to the Nuggets for Davon Reed.
Good trade for the Nuggets for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And then the Lakers also got Mo Bamba for Patrick Beverley. So we're doing a whole roster rehaul.
And then Patrick Beverley immediately, he was granted his release.
Did he sign anywhere yet or no?
I don't know. I mean, a lot of people said he was going to go back to Minnesota, but I don't know. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that for certain. That's just what people were saying, that's where they thought he was going to end up.
I haven't certain. Let's see if I'm trying to see this. I don't think he's gone anywhere yet. I had heard that maybe he was going to go back to the Clippers too. Like that was a.
Yeah, maybe.
But anyways.
Anyway. I like Thomas Bryant to the Nuggets. That's a good pickup for Denver. There's always the crazy Jokic on off numbers. And so maybe you plug Thomas Bryant in. He's got the ability to stretch the floor and he's limited, but he's better than what they've had before. And what's interesting there is Denver made the trade where they got rid of Bones, which as a young guy who can score makes you really wonder and think about, well, what's this guy all about that Denver really wanted to move off him? I guess they're saying maybe you can't trust a guy who doesn't really defend and he's a young guy and what's he going to do in the playoffs under the pressure, but still seems kind of early to give up on a guy and makes you wonder what else is going on behind the scenes with him. Of course, the Clippers will take him.
Yeah. I just don't, the Lakers are pitiful. LeBron, it all comes down to if LeBron's not going to, isn't able to play, then they're not going to have a chance. I mean, he hasn't played since he broke the record because of his foot. So, like, I mean.
Yeah, if LeBron's out, we might as well just.
Pitch him, right?
Pack it in. Pack it in, baby. I mean, even if LeBron's there, pack it in, baby, but. If LeBron's not there, what are we even doing? What are we even talking about? It's
yeah, that team's bad.
Yeah, it's
bad.
It's crazy. Okay, so I got a good one for you.
Yeah.
Around the Lakers. So, you probably didn't read this article on The Ringer by Kevin O'Connor, right?
No, Mike, I don't have time to read. I teach all day, and then I coach, and then I come home and chase my children around, and then I go to bed.
All right, the post-trade deadline NBA power rankings. Okay, so here are the categories. I'm just going to read the categories. Wemby watch. Here are the teams. The Rockets, Pistons, Hornets, Spurs. Lottery hopefuls. Pacers, Magic, Thunder, Jazz. Should have blown it up. Wizards, Bulls. Actually blew it up. Nets. Not quite there. Raptors, Knicks, Hawks. Needing a miracle, Blazers, Timberwolves, Finals Fantasies, Pelicans, Kings, Heat, Finals Hopefuls, Mavericks, Memphis, Cavs, Clippers, True Finals Contenders, Sixers, Lakers, number six. In the post-trade deadline.
Kevin O'Connor said ranges. That?
Yes.
No, Kevin O'Connor. Yes.
Kevin O'Connor is insane. Absolutely insane. Can I even read this to you? It's just, it's insanity. Weeks after acquiring Rui Hachimura from the Wizards, the Lakers have finally undone the Russell Westbrook disaster. For the price of a top four protected 2027 first-round pick and one future second-round pick, the Lakers upgraded from Westbrook to D'Angelo Russell, Patrick Beverley to Malik Beasley, Damian Jones to Jared Vanderbilt, and Thomas Bryant to Mo Bamba. Los Angeles now has better shooting, shot creation, and defense across multiple positions. The Lakers will be able to play too big since Bamba can space the floor, or they can go small with Vanderbilt. They can throw out a bunch of guards or wings, and these combinations should actually work around LeBron and AD, unlike the first iteration of the roster this season. They'll retain the ability to trade two first-rounders this summer or use non-guaranteed salaries to make a big acquisition, giving this haul even more credence than a move like dumping everything for Kyrie. The Lakers need to climb the standings to even make the playoffs, but they're only 4.5 games back from the sixth seed and 2.5 games back from the play-in. If they get in, they're a threat no matter their seeding. It was a masterful deadline move by the Lakers to give themselves an outside chance at winning another championship. That is legitimately insane.
Kevin O'Connor... Not that you're ever going to hear this. And, Mike, you might have to pull this from the clip. I've lost all respect for you. I like you, Kevin O'Connor. However, this is an idiotic statement. If the Los Angeles Lakers make the playoffs, it's going to be a miracle. And you have them sixth. To be in the Mike,
I read that. I thought it was a gag. I thought it was a gag column. I was
Simmons, Mina Kimes is available. She's a free agent. Fire O'Connor and hire Mina Kimes because there's no way. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. I'm sorry, and I've heard ridiculous things.
Yeah, this is. I teach middle school. When I read it, I honestly couldn't. I couldn't even wrap my head around it. I'm like, in what world does, like, I don't know. I can't do it. I can't do it.
Yeah. Okay. And then I guess the only other trade to me, Mike, that is worth us discussing, and then you can tell me if there's other ones that you think we should talk about. But the Eric Gordon to the Clippers, Luke Kennard to the Memphis, and Danny Green to Houston, which leads to Danny Green's supposedly signing with the Cavs. I mean,
he hasn't signed yet, right?
I mean, it was reported that the deal was done, but I haven't. The Cavs haven't announced it, so
yeah, I haven't seen anything.
I mean, it was the only move the Cavs made.
It's a good move. I like it. If Danny Green's healthy, who knows? Maybe he can give you 5 minutes here or there in the playoffs, certain matchups. I don't mind it.
You could put him out there to shoot a three if you need him. I mean,
there's worse guys you could throw out there. All right, Clippers getting Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon finally escapes from Houston. I still think about that quote that he had where they're interviewing him. He's like, well, what? They asked him, what about all the improvement? He's like, there is no improvement. So I'm sure Eric Gordon is glad to get out of Houston. He's a guy who still can shoot it. He can defend a little bit better than Luke Kennard. So I think that's where the Clippers are trying to upgrade that spot, is can they get more defenders on the floor? Memphis, Kennard, really a great shooter. Something that they lack other than Desmond Bane. The team really doesn't have a ton of shooting. So adding Kennard makes sense. I think when you start looking at Memphis going deep in the playoffs, Kennard's a guy that, because he's a defensive liability, that you wonder how much he can be on the floor in crunch time. But he certainly fills a need for the Grizzlies. And I think Gordon just gives him a different look. Obviously more of a two-way guy than Kennard, not as good of a shooter, but brings you a little bit more on the defensive end of the floor. Maybe he gets rejuvenated being back in a winning environment. So I think that was a good trade for both teams.
Yep. Anything else, Mike? Any other trades jump out at you that matter? Like, I look at the rest of them. Atlanta getting Sadiq Bey, Wiseman going to the Pistons, Kevin Knox going to the Warriors.
They had to get rid of Wiseman, right? I mean, you had to cut bait. You had to cut bait on Wiseman at some point. It just didn't make any sense, right? And the guy, maybe he's going to develop into something, but as long as you have the current iteration of the Golden State Warriors and the way they play, and you're going to continue to try to win titles with that group, it just didn't make sense. They couldn't find the time for Wiseman. And it's funny because you think, like, this is Wiseman's, what, fourth year, third year? Third year, I think. And the guy basically hasn't played, and by the time some guys are in their third year, you're talking about NBA All-Stars, and it seems like you're like, well, Wiseman's still a young guy, but really in today's NBA, the fact that he's shown nothing in his first three seasons tells you a lot about what he is. And then when you're Detroit, it's weird. Like, I get you're buying low on Wiseman, but they got Jalen Duren, who's 19 years old, who's been killing it, and he might be the best rebounder per minute in the entire league. And they signed Marvin Bagley in the offseason, I think it was a two-year contract, and gave him some pretty good money. He plays basically the same position as Wiseman. It's like Detroit's loading up on centers. They got Isaiah Stewart. I just don't understand really what Detroit's doing. I guess you're just kind of accumulating talent when you're at the bottom of the league anyway. So, but the fact that they brought in a guy that they already have a bunch of young guys at that position doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But again, whatever.
Yep. I just don't. I mean, none of those things. None of that trade doesn't make a difference. Boston and Oklahoma City. Did you watch the Boston Milwaukee game at all? I watched the end.
I watched the last. The Mike Muscala
three pointer.
Yeah, that was nice. He missed it by like 17 feet.
Yeah.
That was not Boston. That was not pretty. I did like on Twitter how they were calling the team tonight the Hospital Celtics.
Here's my question, Mike.
Okay.
After watching that game, yes, Milwaukee wins the game. Are you concerned at all that they weren't able to, like, own that game? Like, no Tatum, no Marcus Smart.
Without seeing the whole thing, I guess I'd say I'm slightly concerned. But at the same time, I just don't know how much the regular season translates when you're talking about the best teams. When you get in a seven-game series and you got time to prepare and your entire scouting staff and your entire organization is focused on one opponent, I just don't know how relevant any of these regular season games are, whether guys are playing or not playing. I just don't know that it matters all that much. And so I don't think you take a lot away from it. I don't think you take anything really super positive away from it if you're Milwaukee and say, oh, you know, we beat the Celtics. And then conversely, I don't think if you're the Celtics, you're not like some moral victory. Oh, we hung with the Bucks without Tatum and Brown. Imagine how easy it's going to be when we have Tatum and Brown. I just don't think it works that way. To me, it's nice to win regular season games, but ultimately I think when you match up in the playoffs, we see it more and more that playoff basketball is just so different from regular season basketball that I don't think a regular season matchup like this matters, no matter who's in the game or who's out.
Do you think that, okay, so can the Cavs beat both of these teams or no? Can they beat either of these teams, Mike, or no?
I would have to say no. I mean, I don't see in a playoff series, I think those two teams would probably have too much. Well, there's too much Giannis. I just don't know how the Cavs try to match up. Obviously, nobody can match up with Giannis. And theoretically, the Cavs can throw Allen and Mobley at him. But I don't know that either one of those two guys is strong enough to deal with Giannis, both on the interior and rampaging down the floor on the fast break. So I don't think we can beat Milwaukee because I just think Giannis can take it to another level that nobody on our team can get to. And I just think it's easier for a guy who's 7 feet tall to be your go-to scorer than it is for Donovan Mitchell at 6'2". And then on the Boston side of it, obviously we beat them twice this season in two very good, very highly competitive games. I don't know. I guess I like our chances better against Boston than I do against Milwaukee. But I still think the Cavs are another year of Evan Mobley's development away offensively to be able to get where they want to go. I think it's too hard to have two small guards as big and as physical as Mitchell is. He's still a 6'2 guard. And I just think that when those guys are your go-to scorers, you have to work a lot harder than a guy who's 6'8 or 6'9 or 6'11 like Giannis is in order to get easy baskets. I just don't think there's as many easy baskets for Garland and Mitchell in the playoffs as there are for Tatum, Brown, and Giannis, just as an example.
I think we could. I think once again, I'm still more afraid of Milwaukee than I am Boston.
I am too.
But
I think things would have to go really, really well, and Mobley would have to have. He'd have to play really well offensively for the Cavs to be able to win. Like, you'd have to have a Mobley series where he averaged between 18 and 20 a game and got you 10 or 12 rebounds a game. I think you'd have to get multiple 20-point games from Evan Mobley, I think, in a playoff series against either of those teams for the Cavs to win.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess you could have a transcendent Mitchell series where he averaged 42 a game, maybe. But
yep.
I don't know.
All right. So I guess let's talk Cavs. Can we talk Cavs for a few minutes and then briefly, preview tomorrow night? You want to preview tomorrow night, Mike?
Sure, that's fine.
Who's winning tomorrow night, Mike? The Cavs? 8-game winning streak going into the break? Or are they going to lose? Like, I predicted 3-1, so right now they're 3-0, so I'm kind of hamstrung. But I want them to win tomorrow night, obviously. And I think there's a... It's going to be a good game. I'm excited to see what it looks like. I really am. I would love to win tomorrow, and I don't know what the tiebreak situation with Philly would look like, or like in the end of the. I know we've played a few more games than them, but if we were to win tomorrow, like we would be virtually tied with them, like at least in the records. We wouldn't have the same record, but we would be virtually tied with them. And I mean, I'd surely like to be in that 3 seed. That wouldn't be a terrible place to be, right?
Be nice to be in the 3 seed and get. Although, I would not be super excited to play Miami in the first round if Miami's sitting in the 6th spot. If if somehow Brooklyn would fall to the six and Miami could creep up into the five, and then you could have Philly as the 4-5 with Miami, and the Cavs get Brooklyn in the 3-6, I think that would be a pretty good situation for the Cavs. I'd feel pretty good about that.
Yeah. But
I think the Cavs, I think they lose tomorrow night.
You picked them to go undefeated, didn't you, last week?
I did. Well, no, did I?
Pretty sure you did.
Yeah, I probably did, whatever. But I don't know. After, I mean, they struggled through these last two wins, and it seems like they're kind of, even though we've won seven in a row, it feels like we're kind of wheezing towards the All-Star break a little bit. That Suns game, we gutted it out. Same thing with the Bulls game, where those are games that I guess you easily could have lost.
The Suns. You said the Suns game. You mean the Spurs game?
Did I say Suns? I thought I said
Spurs.
Yeah,
you said Suns. It's okay.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
The Spurs game, Spurs and the Bulls, it felt like they were kind of struggling through those two games. But again, they were games that they could have easily lost, and they were able to pull them both out. So maybe you get up for this game knowing that you got a break coming as soon as that game's over. And I don't know. I'm not afraid of Philadelphia at all. I'd love to be able to play them in the playoffs. I mean, if I had to look at which of the top five teams or which of those other top teams I'd most like to play, Philly would clearly be my choice. I think I'd probably rather play Philly than Miami, in all honesty. But
well, yeah, because you're due for an Embiid injury or Embiid gastrointestinal issue.
Yeah, so you're due for something, and you're definitely due for a hard and poor performance.
Yeah.
And Philly's backcourt is just objectively horrible on defense. So the fact that the Cavs' strength is the offense of Garland and Mitchell, and good luck to Maxey and DeAndre Melton and Harden chasing them around. I don't see that.
Yeah.
So I don't see
it. All right. So you're picking against the Cavs tomorrow night.
No, I'll stick with the win. Okay. I said they were going to go undefeated in the last.
I said they were going to go 3-1. I'm going to say they're going to win tomorrow night, Mike.
All right.
I'm going for it.
All right. Let's hope we can do it.
All right.
Let's
hope. So that's the only game we have to predict.
The first training camp Elite Skill Development and Performance Combine will be held on the campus of Western Reserve Academy, just outside of Cleveland, Ohio, powered by Unleash Potential and the Hoopheads podcast. The camp is designed for boys rising to grades 6 through 9 and will take place June 29th through July 1st, 2023. An emphasis on improving individual skills in the context of a team environment will be the hallmark of the training camp. Mike Klinzing from Head Start Basketball and the Hoopheads podcast and Joe's Decision from Unleashed Potential will serve as the camp directors of this inaugural training camp. Campers can expect 3 days of hard work, intense skill instruction, and learning how to be a great teammate on and off the court at the training camp. Players will participate in 10 elite skill development sessions led by some of the best coaches from across the country. Visit headstartbasketball.com to get registered.
They announced the All-Star 3-point contest and slam dunk competition participants. Did you see the list?
Mac McClung, man. Oh, McClung.
You saw the list. Okay. He just got a two. By the way, he just got a deal. He just got a deal. Milwaukee? Yeah, Milwaukee signed him, I think.
There you go.
Or no, Philadelphia. Sorry, Philly.
All right.
Let's see. I'm going to pull up the list. I'm going to pull this up here. Oh, my God. This is what a joke. And they announced
Shaedon Sharpe from the Blazers dropped out. I would have liked to have seen him.
Yeah, he just had a really nice dunk tonight, too. They announced the judges. Let's hear the judges. Here are the judges. These are better. Here we go. The judges are the following.
Okay.
Jamal Crawford.
Okay.
Lisa Leslie.
Okay.
Karl Malone.
All right.
Harold Miner.
Okay, baby Jordan. I played against Harold Miner in college.
Dominique Wilkins.
Okay.
There you go. That's the judges.
All right. Baby Jordan. Dusting him off to get him out there. Harold Miner. It's pretty good, man.
All right.
Pretty good.
So the dunk contest. Oh, my God. These people. My God, Mike. This has got to be. I know this is like really begging for the bottom of the barrel here, right? Like, this is so bad. This is like, seriously, this is what we get for the dunk contest? You got Kenyon Martin Jr.
He's a good dunker.
His dad was in the NBA. We got Mac McClung.
Okay, white guy, little guy.
We got interesting. Trey Murphy.
Okay.
And we got Jericho Sims.
All right.
Like, this is what we're dealing with, Mike. This is bad.
Yes.
And they're going to have to pull Anthony Simons got hurt tonight, so I'm guessing he's not participating in the three-point contest that they just announced. Donovan Mitchell turned down an offer to do it. Like, they asked him to do it, and he said no, which is, I'm happy about that. I think just with his groin injury and stuff. The three-point contest, well, do you want to pick a winner of the dunk contest? I'm picking Mac McClung because he's going against all odds. I'm going to take Mac McClung.
Like, all right, I'm going to take give me Kenyon Martin Jr.
All right, okay. Three-point contest. We got Tyrese Halliburton, Tyler Hero, Buddy Hield, Kevin Herter, Damian Lillard, Lauri Markkanen, theoretically Anthony Simons if he's not injured, and Jason Tatum. So you tell me Jason Tatum couldn't play tonight, but he's going to do the three-point contest?
Why is Tatum in there?
Because he's leading the league in threes made, I think, or something ridiculous.
I'll be rooting against Tatum.
Give me Buddy Hield, Mike. I'm going with Buddy Hield.
All right, I'll take Dame. Give me Dame.
All right.
Give me the biggest star in the group. I'll go with Dame.
And then my favorite. This is my favorite one. They're doing the contests tonight.
Do we have to do the All-Star draft? Don't we have to do that? We've totally short-shrifted the All-Star game.
Do we want to really do that, Mike, tonight?
Let's do it real quick. Come on, man. Let's do it. This will be our last thing.
I don't even know who's all the All-Stars. We got all these people injured again. I don't even know. They haven't even replaced Jaylen Brown yet. He's literally got a facial fracture, and they didn't replace him.
Oh, hey, man. What do you want? What do you want, man? Come on.
I want Darius Garland, baby. Come on.
Darius Garland should be in.
I want Evan Mobley. I want someone else. I mean, Evan Mobley's already going to be there. Put him in the game. He's going to be there for the Rising Stars game. Put him in there. Let's go.
There we go.
I mean, if he would have played as well as he's played the last 2.5 weeks.
Hey, you see he's in the skills challenge this year?
That's terrible.
The Utah Jazz, baby.
Did you? And the one guy literally just got up the Jazz. Walker Kessler was just training there, wasn't he?
No, he's a rookie, man. He's been there the whole time.
Colin Sexton and Jordan Clarkson, they love to shoot.
It's fun. And the Antetokounmpos are back, man. They're back for more.
All right. Okay, so we got to pull up who's the All-Stars. I don't even know all of them because I can't keep track because I keep getting injured and replaced. Okay, here we go. Roster. All right, so we got to pick the starters first, which is hilarious because now two of the Eastern Conference players are in the West now. Okay, so we got to pick
three out of the ten are out, are injured.
Yeah,
and LeBron's injured. Maybe LeBron won't play.
No, he's gonna play.
Come on.
Lauri Markkanen starting now and. He's a considered nice. A starter. He's nice. Considered a starter.
Nice.
Okay, so are you gonna write these down? Are you gonna do it post? Let's post editing. I mean, I don't want to.
I've got it right here.
I've got a book
no,
right
I'm
here.
Good. I got it. I'm good.
Okay, so good. Do you want to pick for Giannis or do you want to pick for the King?
You take who you want.
Well, I don't know who. I'm guessing LeBron gets the first pick, right?
Yeah, you can take the first pick. You can take
okay.
LeBron.
Okay, I'll pick for LeBron. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I want to get a feel for what it's going to be like playing with this guy. Listen, I know how to play with this guy in an All-Star game. He's won an All-Star MVP. I'm gonna take Luka. Go ahead.
All right, you're gonna take Luka. So we got LeBron and Luka on the same team. All right, let's see. I am Giannis. Who do I want on my team?
Don't need to belabor this, Mike.
Let's see. I'm going to take this is actually a horrible roster. These rosters are terrible. Give me Jokic, man. Give me Jokic.
Donovan Mitchell.
All right, that was going to be my next guy. I'll take Ja.
All right, give me Kyrie.
All right. I'll take Tatum.
All right, so that leaves me with either... Oh, well, I mean, this is no... I'm going to take the fan favorite.
Rudy Gobert? He's not in the game this year.
No. Wait, who's left? Markkanen and who?
Oh, are we just... We're picking only starters?
Yeah, we're supposed to be picking starters, Mike.
Oh, who got put into the starting lineup.
Oh, Joel Embiid. You still have... It's Embiid. We almost taking Embiid. You're gonna end with... Oh, this is good. I'm taking Markkanen. You're gonna end with Embiid and...
All right, I like my team, man. We're huge, man. We're huge.
And I got Lori.
Okay,
we're gonna run you. We're gonna run you to death.
All right, hey, man. That's all right. We can sub.
All right. So
all right. Now we're going to the reserves. I guess I picked Ja. I picked Ja, even though he's not a starter.
Ja's a starter now.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a starter now.
All right. Well, good. That was a good pick by me. See, I know
he replaced Zion.
Okay. There you go.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, understood.
All right. So now we're gonna. Do you want to?
Well, you get the next pick. Just pick.
Okay.
You
well,
want,
I'm picking Durant.
He's injured, man. He's out.
Well, is he? Well, he's not playing. That's right. Okay.
He's
so,
out, man. Come on.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna take the guy. I'm gonna take the guy who scored 40 tonight.
Okay.
Drew Holiday.
Drew Holiday. All right. Interesting pick. He was definitely under consideration. He was definitely under consideration. I'm gonna take Shea.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna take Dame. We're going guard heavy at Team LeBron this year.
All right. Okay. That's fair. It's fair. I like it. Give me Anthony Edwards, man. I think Anthony Edwards is gonna throw down some dunks for me.
All right. I guess I need a little bit of size. A little bit. Not too much. Man, these rosters are friggin' terrible, Mike.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Are you going to watch this game?
It's bad, man. It's bad.
I mean, I'm looking here. So I'm looking for between size. I took just between Sabonis and Bam and Julius Randle. How the heck did... Jared Allen not getting in over these guys.
Come on, man. Randall's averaging like 25 and 11, man.
I'm gonna take Randall. You talked me into him.
Oh, good, because he would have been my last pick.
Oh no, come on, Jaylen Brown's on this roster.
Man. Come on, right,
I don't even know. I don't even know how to pick these because Durant's not playing, Jaylen Brown's not playing, and he's on the roster.
All right, I got Halliburton. Pandemic P is still on the board.
I mean, Steph's not playing, right? He's not playing. Nope, Zion's not playing.
Nope, he's out.
All right. Okay. Give me swipe of the Fox.
Oh man, come on. That's a good pick.
I've only taken him because you probably were picking him next.
That was my next pick. That was the whole strategy.
It wasn't because I needed another guard, it was because I was sabotaging your pick.
Yeah, that's a big sabotage. Oh, I got nothing, man. I got nothing left.
Arvidas is on the board.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going there. I'll take Bam.
Okay, I'm gonna take the guy who's guaranteed to get fouled out of the All-Star game.
Okay.
Jaren Jackson Jr.
Triple J. All right. So we have left on our board right now.
Pandemic P.
We have Pandemic P.
Sabonis.
Sabonis and Siakam.
And there should be one more.
DeRozan.
Because we're not picking any of the supposedly injured players that...
No, I think those
are still, the four. There are still someone on the roster. So,
those are the four. Right,
so, is it my turn then?
Well, let's see. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's my pick.
Okay, so how? So we have an odd number of players that...
Yeah, because Jaylen Brown still hasn't been replaced. So Jaylen Brown is theoretically still in.
Whoever drafts Jaylen Brown will either get Jaylen Brown or his replacement.
Correct.
And if they don't have a replacement, then you just are a man down.
Correct. That is correct, sir. Give me Pandemic P.
I'd almost rather have be a man down than have Pandemic P.
Okay.
I'm gonna take, just because I don't really have a lot of size. My choices are Sabonis, Jaylen Brown, or who's the other one? DeMar DeRozan. I'm gonna take
Siakam. Siakam. You could pick Siakam.
Oh wait, who did you just take?
I took Paul George.
Okay, so we still have DeRozan. Okay, I'm gonna take Siakam. That's who I'm gonna take. I'm gonna take Siakam.
Right. I should have kept it quiet.
You could have kept it quiet.
I could have kept that one quiet. All right, so I'm gonna take.
You're gonna take DeRozan for sure.
So I'm gonna take. I'll take DeRozan, I guess.
All right, so now I'm choosing between.
You got to reunite Sabonis and Fox. I mean, I think that's a given. You want that pick and roll combo?
Yeah,
on your
team. I'll take Sabonis.
All right.
And you have Jaylen Brown and his fractured face or a replacement.
All right. I like it. All right. It's pretty good. It's a pretty good all-star draft.
Oh, my God. These rosters are terrible. Are you gonna watch the game on Sunday? Probably.
Yeah, I'll watch it. But there's a lot. Yeah, it's a weird. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't have a good all-star roster feel. I'm not feeling it.
Yeah. All right, Mike. Anything else
That's it.
Hey, I will say this much. I will say this much. There's something to be excited about Thursday that hasn't happened in a while.
What's that?
Tiger's playing in a PGA event that's not a major.
All right, there you go.
So get excited for that. Get excited for that.
There you go.
All right.
All right. So we have one last thing to talk about, Jay, and that is our new game day site, which have you been on there yet?
I checked it out briefly, but like I saw you post about it, and I clicked on it on Twitter, and then after I clicked on it, I looked around. It looks pretty cool. But yeah.
So for our audience, here's what's happening. There is a new site. You can go to gameday.watch/hoopheads, and when you go there, what you'll see is there's an opportunity to ask some NBA questions, and then you can also vote for what your favorite question is from listener submitted questions. And then we also have our roundtable question of the month that you can chime in with an answer, and you can upload a video or audio answer. And again, you can vote on which of those questions or which of those responses you like the best. And then we also have a couple coaching questions, and you can also predict your favorite team's record, and we'll kind of look at it and see how that ends up being. So we're going to start to try to promote this thing. Again, it's gameday.watch/hoopheads. So go ahead and check that out. Jump on there, share some video and audio thoughts with us, and we'll try to get some responses and start to answer those questions in the weeks ahead as we get some interaction on there. So please check that out. Again, gameday.watch/hoopheads. All right. Anything else?
Go Cavs.
There we go. Hopefully they can beat Philly, and then we'll get to the All-Star break and see where we go from there. Should be a fun run towards the playoffs for the Cavs, for sure, without question. So to everyone out there, thanks for listening. We appreciate it, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks. Your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies, and most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio.
Each section of the portfolio guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a Hoopheads Pod listener, you can get your coaching portfolio guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast presented by Head Start Basketball.